On this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart, John and I sit down and talk about, does this crap really work? All these things in golf, whether it's mental game, whether it's aim point, all the gadgets, do they really work, or do they take more time, or do they just get in our head? So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart. Well, once again, we're back, John. Another week. Some fine weather here in the state of Indiana. It's been a little up and down, a little breezy, a little rainy every once in a while. But I know you got out. I can tell with your little bit of a sunburn you got there. So what's been going on?
Yeah, got to golf 3 or 4 times already, man. And just, you know, taking advantage of the decent days when we get them.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to beat. I've just been a little busy with work, but I'm looking forward to getting out as soon as possible. That's for sure. Getting some swings in before the big trip.
100%.
Which is what now, 24 days away?
Let's look at the old countdown app.
Uh-oh. Bring her on up there.
Oh.
Yeah, it's getting close.
22 days.
How many?
22.
Woo, there we go. That's the funny thing, and I know a lot of our listeners will feel this, because it seems like it's never going to get here, and then all of a sudden, it's upon us.
Yeah, upon us and then gone in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, that's the other unfortunate feeling when you get it, the travel there, everything's going. Next thing you know, you're packing everything up to head home. You're like, man, what a good time. Then you're thinking, crap, I got to wait till the next one.
Yep.
So, John, I thought we'd sit back and kind of talk about, does some of this crap work that we see in golf, or that's being sold to us, or whether that's training aids or putting styles or all the different little trinkets you can buy. What do you say when you think of stuff like aim point? Do you think aim point works, or do you think it just helps concrete in what you already see?
Yeah, I mean, I think it works for some people, right, that do it, right? They believe in it, and I think people's putting has gotten better because of it, probably a little bit more confident. Probably less three putts and getting the ball closer to the hole. Do they make more putts? I don't know the stats on that, but I think it makes them overall better putters.
Yeah, I think aim point is one of those ones that's in there. I think we've seen it. You know, I do a little bit of modified version of that, just kind of feeling the ground under my feet, verifying, you know, what my eyes see. It still comes down to pace and hitting it online. Shout out to Lab Golf Putters for making that a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the ones I think is pretty good. Now, whether or not you overdo it, as far as, you know, the stuff we hear guys complain about on PGA Tour and taking too long to do a read. But I think if for us, for amateurs out there, straddle on your line, feeling the difference. And now if you don't go out and practice it, it's not worth it. I mean, I don't even know why
you're not going to do any good.
Yeah, if you don't know what 1% or 2% slope feels like and how many inches that's going to break, it's not going to do you any good. But yeah, I think that's one of those that's up there. I think the next one that I don't know, man, it gets Plumb Bob. You know, guys standing back there holding the shaft up, looking at the hole, you know, kind of like a more modified version might be how Bryson does it, kneeling down, holding the putter shaft straight up, looking at that. What do you think about that?
Never used it. Never tried it. Don't know anything about it. If I see people doing it, I just think, like, what in the world is this dude trying to pull out here?
Well, there's been a lot of big names. There's you know, there's Sasha McKenzie. There's a lot of people that are, let's say, it doesn't work. I think that's one that if you do it and it gives you confidence in your stroke and what you're going to do, because I think that's the bottom line with a lot of it is if you get up there and you go, yeah, this, okay, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's got whatever 4 inches of break and roll it in. I mean, if that's fine, you know. Now whether or not it's scientific is outside of it, it doesn't really matter. I think that really sets down to, hey, there's been a lot of good players in the PGA that have used Plumb Bob that have done really good. And whether or not it was anything or not, they still made a lot of putts.
You know, I just don't know if it's something so groundbreaking because I think it was like a cheat code to how to read greens, right? I think everybody would be doing it, but the fact that only a small percentage do either one, just I think it just helps them. Like you said, it's a mental thing, right? It makes them more confident. They feel like they can get the ball closer to the hole by doing it. So that's what they do, and they trust it, and it works.
Yeah, and I mean it's I think it's well outside of it's not something you're gonna ever be able to prove. Think you could probably prove aim point just for the simple fact this it's not relatively new, whatever, it's probably been around 8, 9 years or something like that that I can recall, maybe less, but you can look at somebody's putting before that and then look at their make percentage after. I think more guys on a regular basis use aim point than guys plumb bobbing, to be honest. So
Probably.
it's more inconsistent, I guess, is the best way to frame it. Now, what do you think for amateur golfers? What do you think about all these different coaches online, and more specifically, what do you think about mental coaching when it comes to amateur golfers? Is that something you think is actually of value and works, or is it just more stuff with the 27 swing thoughts you have on top of staying calm? Do you think that's too much or even worth it?
I mean, it's worth it to a few, right? I would say somebody that's an amateur but still likes competitive golf but can't get out of their own way, I think it would be good for those people, right? That have mental lapses. But it's going to be pricey because you're most likely that person's going to be a therapist or, mental health coach, whatever you want to call them. They've probably gone through some type of professional training to do that. So it's going to be pricey. So for like me, it wouldn't be worth it because I'm a pretty level-headed guy on the course. And I don't wouldn't see the value of what I paid for the results that it would get me. Like I'm not going to win any extra money by having a mental health coach, play maybe three or four really actually competitive tournaments a year on the USAM tour. So no, but if you're a guy that can't get it out of your own way, might go once a month, once every 6 weeks, go get a session done. And if they put it into practice, it probably could help them out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's a, if we were going to put a name to it, that's a fringe type thing. It's also what kind of funds do you have available? What
100%.
are your goals? If if you're playing tournaments all season long, or you have a specific goal that you want to, whatever, Hooters Tour or wherever you want to get, something like that.
Shit,
I could
break
see
80,
it.
right? I want to break 80 this year. Well, the first thing I'd tell you to probably do is go get a, golf instructor first, then go practice chipping and putting, right? I don't
Right.
put wedge in your hand, But if they do that in 6 months, they're hitting the making good contact, whatever, just having mental flare-ups on one bad shot. Yeah, that person might be like, I don't know how I can physically, mentally. I'm on two different pages. I got the swing to do it. Mentally, I get in my own way. So,
And now we're on coach. Well, now we're talking about coaches a little bit. What do you think about? Is it possible to get overcoached? Do you think that? What would you tell somebody? I'll put it this way: if a guy came to you and said, "Hey, man, just got started in golf. Maybe they've been at it a couple months. They just went to Dick's and bought a box set, and they're rattling off to you about such and such said this on YouTube. I saw this reel on Facebook, then I'm watching this on Instagram. Do you think a person would you tell them, hey, you need to get a coach? Uh-oh, we lost your sound, John. You muted yourself.
Yep, I would probably recommend recommending a golf instructor to about anybody. I don't care if you're a hundred, shoot 100, or if you shoot scratch golf. I think it's nice to have a professional look at your swing, because even whoever thousand videos you watch on YouTube or Insta or whatever, can't see yourself do it, And it's hard and time consuming to record yourself and then watch it and then, go try to make a change and record it and watch it again. So it's just, I think it's easier and faster just to have somebody else give you a lesson,
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of those ones. It's that's that definitely works. That's not something. I mean, that's dead center. That's a core thing. If you want to play golf and you want to play golf well, your best bet is to find a coach. And don't be shy. If you go to a coach, say you buy a three pack of lessons or four pack of lessons, and stuff's just not like you're not picking up what they're laying down, and you don't understand, you're not getting it. Talk to them about it. Make sure they know that, because sometimes it just won't work out. No matter what it is, it may not work out, and you may need to find another coach. And it's not a big deal. The coach will understand, because if they're not getting through to you and they see you're not doing it, definitely move on and find another coach. But I think that's you hit the nail on the head there. That's huge, and that's definitely something that's definitely not a false in the golf community. That's something you definitely got to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you gotta, like you said, you got to be honest with the guy or the lady, whoever's giving you the lesson, be like, here's what I'm trying to achieve. Whether it's one, I want to shoot, get down to this handicap or whatever. Or, I just want to hit the ball more consistent. I don't care what, if my scores go up or down, I just want to be able to compress the golf ball, right?
Right.
Like for me, I tell Jeremy, I'm happy being a 5 to a 10 handicap. I just don't want to hit it on the toe anymore. Help me be just more consistent so I can go out and enjoy it, right? And so, like, we fundamentally we don't do anything drastic overhaul of a swing change. It's just go back to the basics. Rotate and rotate and don't overswing. That seems to work.
Yeah, and I just think that that's a. I don't think we can hammer that one home enough about, finding the right coach, finding the right person, telling them, like you said, where you're heading. Be honest with them about, well, 90% of the time I'm slicing the ball, or I'm or whatever. Just make sure you're honest with them, and definitely don't want to go and tell your coach you're a hell of a ball striker, and then you're just missing everything. Be This person's there to help you. Use your time, use your money wisely.
You got to get honest with yourself and then get honest with your coach, right?
What do you think about these and another, well, what do you think about the apps on your phone or recording on your phone?
I mean, I think I'm more open to it now than I would have been in the past. Like if I were to move away and I couldn't find a local coach, I'd be okay with doing like remote lessons. I think now with technology, whether it's, Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or whatever you're going to use to do it. It's not the same, but I think there's a time and place for it. Like if you're you're traveling to a tournament, right? And you're trying to get into competitive golf and you can't afford to bring your swing coach with you on your tournaments, right? Maybe you're getting on mini tours or whatever. It's like, oh, I could just phone this guy up real quick and, I'm not finding it at the range or something not clicking. Let me just FaceTime this dude for a half hour and see if he can see what I'm not seeing or what I can't feel, right?
Yeah, I think I'm all for that. I like to I wasn't. I'm kind of like you, but then I thought, man, I can, like with me and Taylor, I'll video my swing out in the garage and I'll send it to him and I'll say, hey, here's what I feel like I'm doing.
Yeah.
But you got anything yet? What do you think? Where should I be here? I don't know why I'm not doing this, so on and so forth. So I think that comes in handy. Now, as far do you have to, and I just use my regular camera. There's apps
Yeah.
out there that'll record you in positions, that'll, draw lines on them and where you're
Yeah.
at and so on and so forth. I don't, I, m me personally, I think some of that you can over data yourself
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
pretty quickly. And I think that's a hole you can go down real fast and put yourself in a really bad spot. I guess I don't know if I'd agree or disagree with those or if they're crap or not, but I think that they have their place, but I don't think their place is in our hands as much as they're better for a coach to video you and then
Yeah.
mark that up and say, hey, I'm trying to get your hands here,
I
so on and
mean,
so forth.
just like any of those, simulators or swing technologies, right? Like TrackMan, like I don't know what out of the 40, I might know what 4 to 10 of those actually mean, and probably only 2 to 3 of those I actually know how to manipulate my body enough to change the results on the screen, right? So I think information overload kills me. I hate to see it. I'm never that technical about it. But if you're like a Bryson DeChambeau that ultra analyzes everything, like they might geek out on the numbers and learn to do it. But I would say majority of golfers, probably 95% of us, we want to know if we're swinging in to out, what our club head speed is and what our carry distance goes, Anything outside of that, just tell me what I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice, I mess around with some of the stuff just to get cause and effect and find out, does this do what it's supposed to do? Am I doing this correctly, or will this do this? That, being qu inquisitive or whatever and investigating the way things work is one thing, but you can easily put yourself in a really bad spot
Quick.
with some of those things. Since we're on technology, what do you think about stuff like Arcos, stuff like I forget, there's several other ones.
Yeah.
Arcos just the one that's coming to mind where you got a GPS on there, which is nice. You're tracking your shots, you're tracking your yardages. Do you think that's useful in your opinion, or do you think that's too much?
Too much for me. I could see how other people that are more into data would love it, right? They want to know plus or minus 2 yards of what their average carry distance are for all their irons, right? Me, I don't care. If it's 145, I got a 140 to 150 club. I'm happy going either way. But I think a lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot, I would say 20 per, the 80-20 rule, I think 20% of people like it. I don't. I have the ability to do that on through the Blue Tees app through my GPS where I can track all my shots, greens hit, putts hit, all that stuff. I never use it because I don't want to take the time to do it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones I would put in there as a useful technology. I used to use Arcos all the time, and it was neat to be able to look on there and see, hey, I'm from X amount of yardages, I'm missing left,
Yeah.
or I'm coming up short. It's also good to kind of get a feel for what your yardages are for your clubs. I do think that one is really useful if you want to invest the time in it. It does, and I will warn anybody that wants to get it, it does get a little bit frustrating at times when you're getting set up on the course, you're trying to play, and if you spend too much time looking at that's not going to be helpful to you or any of the guys you're playing with.
Yep.
So I will warn you of that. It's always going to get better. It's tech, it's technology, AI. There's going to be a lot of stuff like that that's going to get better. It is useful. I think it's not a crap item. I think it's just
Yeah.
whether or not you're into that and you know, if a guy, especially like we were talking, if you've got a guy that wants to be play tournament golf and you can narrow down what your misses are, and it's another thing you could take back to your coach. Your coach can look at it too and say, okay, well, you're whatever, 60% of the time you're missing left from 150. We need to work on a little bit of face control, you know, and stuff like that. But I think that's, it's pretty useful. But like we said, it's going to be one of those things. It's going to be an individual's thought whether or not they want to spend the time to track all that. Now, the other, another one I wanted to get with you on is putters. This is becoming a huge deal. I just posted on our Instagram yesterday and today that the square to square from Callaway from Odyssey is looking so much like lab putters. Their grip looks so much like lab. You know, imitation sincerest form of flattery. But John, what do you think? Do you think the proof is in the pudding because of the way professionals are turning over to it, or do you just think it's another thing that you keep watching it over and over again, watching the ads, that now mentally when you grab that club, you feel like it's going to function the way it should, and it takes that out of your head as something to worry about, or is the tech real?
I think with lab, like the I think the technology is there, right? It's the first one to really ever do it. It's
Especially the way
funny.
they're doing it.
And to see Callaway come out and basically just copycat it. Like you said, it is flattering because the popularity has grown so much over the past year, even. Comes back down to confidence. The technology's there. You know, it's going to help you out. And you still got to read the putt right. You got to just, judge distance and speed. So there's still, two out of the three parts that you got to get down to make a putt, right? So you got the putter, you got the speed, and then you got the read. So if you know that one of those is always good, probably have a lot better chance of making putts.
Yeah, I would say that's, I like how you put that, you know, so you're a third of the way already.
As soon as you step up every time,
Yeah,
you got
you
one
know,
out of three things done.
if you pull that offline, you pulled it offline. But at the same time, I mean, I believe in the tech. I'm just trying to be a little bit of devil's advocate, but I think that a good putter is a good putter.
True.
You know, and the way that your hands move and the way that you control that face, that's, I just think that you can take that out. And I try to explain that to people that they don't understand, that they're like, well, it doesn't have that much rotation. I go, there's a lot
No,
more
you don't.
rotation and torque than you think. And if you realize that you're completely taking that out with one of these putters, man, that's pretty awesome.
Big deal.
But at the same time, when you t if you take somebody that was a really good putter, and then all of a sudden you put their hands on a lab putter, there's a good chance they're going to be a little bit suck for a little bit because
You kind of get used to it.
you don't realize how much your hands are manipulating, that it's just muscle memory, if you will. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot to out there tech-wise. I think Evenroll has some pretty good tech across the face of their clubs. I think Yes Putters, they've got some pretty good tech.
I mean, Seymour putters with the little red dot, and you're square when you can't see the red dot. I mean, they're all trying to get you to square the putter up. That's the number one thing, right?
Now, what do you think about lines on your putter?
I don't really care if they're there or not, personally. I tend to hit my more on the heel on my putter, majority of the time. And then if it's a opposite breaking putt, I'll try to hit it on the toe to try to help it go a little left for me. But I don't care if there's a line there or not. It doesn't hurt me, doesn't help me per se. I get used to where the sweet spot is, and then that's where I line up all the time for me.
But do you feel like it's, do you feel like it's crap that they're on there? Do you feel like that's something that really helps somebody, or that's something that could
I think
potentially
some
hurt?
people visualize like their club path so they can see the lines on the putter and they take their practice swing. They can kind of see if they're going out to in or in to out or if they're square forward back. I'm not that visual on it, so like I said, it doesn't do much for me, but I think some people it helps more on path than anything.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of interesting studies about how that affects your eye and how your basically how your eyes, how you're looking at the ball and how those lines will affect the way you putt. Ping has in their lab, they have a system that has you put on a pair of glasses and it has a camera. It's looking down and it's basically tracking your eye and it can tell where you're looking at the ball in comparison to where the actual center is, and it'll track how you move the club and how your eye moves with it. And they've got it down to what that's why they only offer certain lines on some of their putters. But yeah, I think that's useful, especially if you're a guy that this comes into our next question of whether or not you believe that there should be is a line on your ball helpful?
Yeah, I don't like having a line on the ball. I never line it up with a line, never have. I can never get the line to feel like it's in line with the line on the putter. Feels like it's always a little off. I know a lot of people used it and a lot of people love it. I just never have done it. Only thing I have done is use the Titleist logo square with my putter face. So that way I know my putter's squared to the Titleist logo. That means it should be online.
So, but you have something you use, basically. So it's another one that I like. I mean, I've toyed around with the triple track and with the line. I like the line on the ball. I hate lining, putting lines on the damn ball because I'm always this, it just doesn't seem to last. But I like the idea of lining it up with the line I see the ball rolling on, where the break is, where my start line is. I do think those are useful.
Yeah, I see a lot of people lining it up, and even in our golf group. I mean, I'd say majority of our guys in our group that we play with on a regular basis line them up.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that's it's definitely very useful, especially if you're at a spot where I don't know if you have a large breaking greens, you know what I mean? Big undulating greens, and you know you're gonna start it, you know, whatever, 3 foot right, and it's gonna break back, and you're dependent on going over whatever, an old divot mark in the, you know, and you can line it up with that and then line your putter up with that, so on and so forth. But yeah, I definitely think that's one of those things that definitely works. What do you think about the use of range finders? And I'm gonna, we could talk about it all over the course, but what do you think about using a range finder? I don't know, 60 yards and in.
I don't.
Okay,
It's
you
a
think
feel
that's,
thing for me.
is that always a feel thing for you, or do you ever look at something or ask somebody, hey, what'd you shoot over there? And then you're gauging, you're maybe 15 yards ahead of them, or.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it all, right? I mean, if I have to fly a trap and I think it's 30 yards to get over that trap, I'll shoot it just so I know what my carry distance needs to be. And it's really not me, shooting the flag. It's me shooting a spot just over the edge of a bunker or water hazard, just so I know what my true carry distance needs to be to get over something. Then it comes down to, how's this going to feel? How much swing power do I have to put on through the ball?
Yeah, I think I think whenever you put, like you said, water, if you put a hazard in front of you, I would say 80%, maybe. Well, I'd say 90 some percent of amateurs are going to find out what their yardage is. One way or another, we're going to get a yardage because nobody likes to hit one and just bloop into the drink for no apparent reason to cover.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about GPS's too, because you can find out exactly how far it is in front of the bunker, or front of the hazard, over the hazard, like layup shots on par fives. There's times where I'll take out my GPS or use a range finder to how far do I need to hit it to be 100 yards out, right?
Yeah, I think obviously range finders are super useful, especially for amateurs. But I was listening to a thing with Claude Harmon III, and he made a comment about he thought it was ridiculous of using a range finder, seeing people using range finders from 60 yards in on the golf course, and it should be a feel shot. And my thought exact right when he said it was, well, how do I know what 60 yards is? If I don't shoot it and get used to hitting 60 yards, I'm not gonna know. But I think his comment was more along the lines of learning the three swings with your wedge, learning a full swing, quarter swing, half swing, and know what those three shots are for each wedge.
I think that, I think it all comes down to your winter work, right? Go in the simulator, get your carry distances for at least, I would say, a wedge, whatever one you want to pick out, get the feel of that, get a 7 iron and get your long iron out. And then based off that, plus or minus each club, you're probably about 10 yards difference, right? And that gets you pretty close.
Yeah, I think definitely range finders are one of those ones. And if you're out playing golf, get a Bluetooth speaker, get a range finder.
Something.
I think it's
Be a hard It'd be hard to imagine going out there today and not one person in the foursome not having some type of range finder or GPS on them.
well, and my thing is with when you're talking about amateur players or if you're playing at any public country club, it doesn't matter where, and this isn't your job. You definitely need that because it really picks up the pace of play.
Yeah, I
You roll
mean,
up to your ball and you go, oh, look, I got, 120 in. You go back there, grab your club. Because not all every golf course, in my opinion, that man, if they had a GPS on the back of the cart where you're right where you're grabbing your clubs, I love that. Probably my favorite thing. When I go to a course and see that, I'm like, oh man, this is awesome. You don't see it
yes,
very
we're gonna have
often.
a good
When
day.
you do, it's like, man, this is great.
I also think that a lot of the courses have been removing yardage postings. Like growing up, right before we even used range finders, we had a 100 yard marker right in the middle of the fairway, 150 and 200, and sometimes a 250 on a par five, right? And then we could, take some paces off that to kind of get a quick feel for what it's going to be. But I don't see those as often. You might see a 150 marker out there or a white pole in the middle of the fairway, but that's about it. And most courses, I don't see anything anymore.
No, and I think that's part of the thing is either they
Yep.
have GPS or they're assuming you're going to have a GPS or a range finder.
Yep.
It's become kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Technology's there.
I mean, when's the last time you saw the actual yardage to the center of the green on a sprinkler head?
There, it's getting few and far between, to be honest.
Yeah, they're just blank plates now.
Times are changing, John. Times
That's
are
it.
changing. Now, what's your thought on training aids in general?
I'd say there are few and far between good ones, but then again, you could probably make any of those training aids out there work for you if you sit down and actually use them on a regular basis, right? I think the biggest thing that training aids do is they're there to make money. If they can improve you, great, but you think you're going to get a quick fix. That's why you buy it. I'm going to buy this, and this is going to help me out. You do it for a couple of weeks, it works great, and you put it back in the closet and never comes back out until next winter.
Yeah, I'm a training aid nut. I mean, I don't buy all of them, but I want to know if they work. But You're right. I mean, some of them, there's no point. Maybe it worked for somebody, and I hope that if people listen to this, that they, with the age of technology we have and the amount of research and how quickly you can do it, you can pretty much go on YouTube and figure out whether or not this training aid is going to help you out instead of just looking at them buying. Because you're right that the gold in what you just said was, we want instant gratification. It's no different than, hey, I'm gonna call up Bob Kitchen at Maple Hill and order me an Auto Flex driver shaft, and I'm gonna be cranking them 302 right down the middle, baby, all
Right off
day
the bat.
long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First swing.
Give me an Auto Flex and a GT4 head. And
Let's
I'm gonna
go.
low spin one right down the middle and just cook the boys every week. It's you definitely gotta watch. And I wouldn't say we're being preyed upon, but sometimes as golfers, it feels that way when you get online and you're like, oh, and some of it looks interesting. And you're like, man, that I wonder if that's real. And I think a lot of people felt that way when the lab stuff started hitting Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. But the claims on some of it, man, you're like, okay. And then you can go on Amazon, or you can go on eBay and get the Temu version or the Shein version,
Or just go on there on eBay and find out how many people are selling these used because they didn't work worth a crap.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a that's definitely that that's definitely yeah, that's basically how I happen upon most of mine is getting them that way, a marketplace or whatever. Somebody's like, this thing didn't work. I'm like, man, I'd like to just take a look at
Yeah,
that.
try
Just
this one.
But what do you think about what are things that you think are the most useful, that would be the most useful for the people listening? Now that, a lot of it is fund dependent, and I meant that as FUND, funds, not fun. But I think from my perspective, I think at home, a hitting mat, a net, and definitely if you can afford some kind of a launch monitor, definitely worth it, especially if you want to practice in the during the winter. I think that's definitely, those aren't crap. That's, if I've got the Rapsodo and it's great. But now that, I don't know if you saw it, like Super Speed now has their own radar. But it also works on Bluetooth, and they've got wedge combines and stuff you can do. To me, I think that's really useful for anybody that's probably playing, 20, 30 times a season,
For
stuff
sure.
like that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think, that would be great for the winter time. I think year round, I think people don't know where they're actually aiming. They think they're aiming one way, and their body's tilted left or right. So I think you go to Home Depot or Lowe's and pick up some alignment sticks. You don't have to go buy the Titleist alignment sticks or the name brand ones, but I think you go the and get those plow markers for, the orange graphite shafts and just put them down. Those are cheap and get them for 10 bucks and have one lined up where you want the ball to go and one lined up where your feet need to be pointed. And, just make sure that, hey, if I'm aiming at this target, let's make sure we're lined up in the right way and should be able to find out whether you're able to hit the target or not by, if your alignment's good, then the rest of it's got to be you in the swing.
Yeah, I think I think those are, that's definitely, if you can do it, if you can afford it, if you've got the space, even if you have limited space, I mean, you could basically do most of the same thing with the foam golf balls. And it's pretty fun dodging those coming off your garage door, but the but I think that's a big deal. Especially if you have a coach. You can work on that, and you can go, you can kind of raise your level of lessons throughout the off season, which is great for your coach because, it's the they got stuff going on. They need, but yeah, I think that's monumental, and it's right up there. I mean, with the other big thing is, you don't have to go to the gym 5 times a week, but having some kind of program, get trying to keep your strength up, work on your
Yeah, mobility.
mobility,
Yeah,
stuff like
mobility is
that.
big. I would almost put mobility over strength every day of the week.
Well, and I think that was my next question was going to be, go get a TPI assessment.
Yeah, it's
And
cheap, $100, $150. Go get it done.
that's definitely not crap, because of the fact that you're going to learn where you're inefficient, whether
Yeah,
that's,
what your body can and cannot do.
yeah, whether that's your actual, whether you can turn, whether you can turn due to a hip, but
Yep.
you got a restriction there, or,
Yep.
a shoulder issue, you're not able to get your shoulder back. And you can work on those, and it's,
Yep. And
I mean,
they give you workout and stretching routines to increase your mobility in the areas that you're not efficient on. So it's a no-brainer, I think.
yeah, I think that's it. If I was going to put them, kind of rank them, and if it was, even if it was right now, I know the season's getting ready to start up. It started for some. But man, schedule it now. Go get a TPI assessment.
Yeah, it only takes
Figure
about
out
an
where your
hour.
thing is. You got plenty of time to make. I mean, you can make some pretty quick changes just by doing it.
Big time.
I mean, I think when I went and did mine, the list isn't huge, isn't like massive,
No,
but you
I
can
got
do them in
12,
the
12 workouts.
morning. You can then do them at night. You can do them pre-round. I mean, it really comes in handy, and it really changes a
Yeah.
lot
Most of
pretty
the
easy.
workouts take you about 15 to 20 minutes total.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing 10 or 12 of them, and it's helped me. I mean, I wouldn't be able to, be able to touch my toes without bending my knees, and now I can touch the ground flat. It's like, well, that's a lot better than I used to be. And, opening up the hips, getting my hips loose, because I know that my hips are, I don't like to move, so I have to stretch those before I go out every round. And, shoulders and hips for me.
Well, and I think that the point I kind of want to get across is it's just not for golf. This is for everything.
Yeah.
This is for life. If you've got a job where you're sitting down a lot, huge for that.
Yep.
Huge for getting up, getting that mobility in your hips, getting getting everything worked out, just for longevity wise, to be able
Yeah.
to, whether you want to play golf forever or you don't.
Yep.
What do you think about fittings? Do you think that is a must, or do you think that's a fringe item, as far as, it's not crap,
No.
but is it really a necessity? And we're talking about for the average golfer or
Yeah.
the amateur golfer.
I don't think it's a necessity. Is it helpful? Yes. I didn't get fitted for my first club until probably, I don't know, 2015, 2016. So I had 15 years of golf experience before that, and I just picked whatever looked good to the eye, right? And you learn how to hit your clubs, right? When you go get fitted, your clubs learn how you're going to hit them, right?
Right.
And you can get some stuff that's going to help you out, get higher launch, lower spin, or higher spin on irons, lower spin on the driver. So I think it's very helpful, but I don't think it's a necessity. Like if you gave me a soft shaft. Yeah, I'm not gonna play well with it right away, but after a time, I'm gonna learn how to hit that thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't, I think it's I think it's on the fringe line, and it's bank account dependent,
Yep.
whether or not you want to do it. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people out there that, are rolling up with the motorized push cart and the PXG bag and
Yeah.
people are going to do it regardless of what we say. But at the end of the day, it's really not 100% necessary. I think if you go to your get a good golf coach, you might have to do some loft and lie adjustments. And I think that's closer to, hey, you should probably get this looked at. And I'm only saying that because if you go out and you're hitting your your 7 iron is going to be, they say, the easiest club to hit, and you hit your 7 iron, let's just say you hit at 150, but you're only hitting your 6 iron, maybe you're hitting it, 170 or something like that. But if you need to fix some gapping, if you're constantly putting the heel down, you need it you need it more flat. There's some stuff like that that you can talk to somebody before you do that. But if you're somebody that's 3, 4, 5, I would say I wouldn't even do it for at least a season. Get out, play, build some tendencies, practice over the winter. Then if you're practicing over the winter and you're noticing the same repetitive faults that are happening, then talk to your coach and say, hey man, I just can't.
Yeah,
I
gotta get
keep putting.
consistent first. Gotta have some data, some routine, some trends that are going on, and then you go get fit. Because, some people go play, I'd say dozen rounds a year, and then they go get fit for a brand new $5,000 setup, and it's like, you don't even play enough golf to even know what you're doing. Like, should have just bought a stock set off the shelf and go out there. Figure it out, go figure out on the course before you go get all this custom shafts and get fit and I'm doing all that other stuff. But that's me.
It's like everything though else though, and I'm sure a lot of our audience will say the same thing, is what guys get out. I know you do it, I do it, we all, just like we were talking about before we came on here, Vessel put out this really awesome golf bag, and it's like, I
Ooh,
don't
gotta have
need
it.
it. I don't need it.
Gotta have it. Don't need it though.
It's just like, if I get one more email from G4, I'm probably gonna We all know what it's like to just want to kind of, I guess, keep up with the Joneses. It's one of those things, you get out there. We all like new shiny things. Golf season's rolling around, and believe me and John talked this into the dirt. You gonna get new clubs this year? Picking up some new wedges? You getting a new driver?
New
Doing
spring
this?
zones are looking pretty nice.
It's hard. It's hard. It's just like everything else in life. It's like when you're a kid and your buddy gets a new pair of Jordans or whatever, you're like, oh mom, I want to get me a new pair of Jordans. We understand it's difficult. What do you think, John, about memberships?
It's one, depends on how much you're going to play or and or how much flexible income you have. So if you have high income, it doesn't matter how much you play. If you want to be a member, go be a member. If you have I would say a decent income, but play a lot of golf where it's going to get expensive going around and playing all these courses and get unlimited memberships, right? And that's going to bring you more value because your cost per round goes down the more you play. If you have little income or not that big amount of surplus, I would probably just recommend people get on Golf Now and go find hot deals, and that's what you're going to be stuck playing.
Well, and then the big one, the other one, I wouldn't say the big one, but it's probably going to hit. It would probably be the hottest topic if we sat down talking about it within our friends group, the golf ball. What do you think? How much is crap and how much is legitimate about, especially from an amateur's standpoint? What do you think? What are your thoughts? Can I go out and buy a Wilson Duo golf ball and probably play it the same as I could if I wanted to go, hey, I'm gonna buy some TP5s or Pro V1s?
I mean, I think for a majority of us, I would say 95% of our friends group, we could pick out any ball in the bucket and it's not going to change our game.
Yeah,
You know? I really don't, even for me. Like I'm, you know, seven. I don't think if you take the Pro V1 out of my hand and gave me a Wilson Staff golf ball for, you know, $25 a dozen, my score is going to change.
Yeah, and that's I'm right there with you. I don't know why a lot of us do it, but I think that, in
We
all
like nice,
honesty,
shiny things.
yeah, all honesty, you can go out, you can play a Max Fly golf ball.
Yeah, any of them. Snell, Weiss, you know, Kirkland. It doesn't matter what it is. Just go pick it out and test them. You know, yeah, you might get less spin or your dispersion might be a little worse than it would be, but you probably, it's not going to change anything, you know,
Yeah,
from a total score.
they're gonna feel a little bit different off the face, but there's a lot of golf balls out there that you can go buy
Yeah.
that if they didn't have a name on them, I almost think that if I could get golf balls with no name on them and get everybody in the group to play them, they wouldn't know.
Yep.
That here's the golf ball we're playing. And
Yep.
I think a lot of that, it is crap. I think a lot of that is crap.
Yeah, give me a top flight. I'll go play it.
Yeah, but I mean, there, I think that is, it just depends, and they all have different types of balls, but the, you know, some are going to be a lot harder than others.
Yeah, 100%.
But the thing is, when you look at amateurs, and we're, you know, a lot of times we're coming up short, you hit a harder golf ball, you're going to get a little bit more roll. You know, it's
Yep.
not going to check up on the green, so it's going to roll out. There's a lot of benefits to that, but for guys like us that play a lot, if I set down a top flight in front of you with no name on it and you hit it, you're going to be like, that wasn't the golf ball I used to hit. And
Yeah.
you're going to
Yeah,
know
you'll
that
feel
right
it.
off the bat.
But then again, like right by the time you feel the ball on the club face, the ball's already gone.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, the feel doesn't change how well you hit a ball, right?
True.
Because
I'll give you
you're gonna
that.
strike it before you ever feel it. So, yeah, I don't think it matters besides preference and taste, right? I've always played Titleist and that's what I'm going to continue to play.
I really think if everybody, if you, that would probably be, I mean, I wouldn't say it would start an argument, but there would be a lot of debate
Oh yeah,
over
I'm sure.
that.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that's probably the
at the
hottest
top
one.
level, the point, you know, 0.01% pros, you know, they're looking for every little minute thing to get an advantage over somebody, right? So they've taken it to that nth degree. For us, we're never taking it that deep on anything. So just go pick a ball that you like. And I don't think the name on it should scare you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, John, that's all I wanted to touch base on. I think
Yes,
we
sir.
got a pretty big gamut there. Anything else you can think of that you think, man, I don't know why this is out there, or anything of that nature?
No, I think we covered most of it, so.
Yeah, I think we hit the. I think it's the ones that are most in front of us most of the time. I'll
For
say
sure.
that. Well, all right, everybody. As always, like, follow, subscribe, hit us up. If you want to come on the show, if you want to play, let us know. And as always, John, it's been nice seeing you. Hopefully, pretty soon, we're in a cart together, smacking the white ball around, having a good time.
Can't wait for it, buddy.
All right, man. You have a good evening.
All right, see ya.